Broadcasting live from WOYK's downtown York studios, this is York's local sports show. Talking local sports on York's local sports station. Welcome to Game Day with Game Time PA on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Game Day with Game Time PA. Chris Jarnold here with Matt Alabone and Zach Miller for week two of a new season of the show. We saw an exciting weekend of football here in New York, Adam, so plenty to talk about. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing?
Very good, Christian. Glad to have football back. Yes, we did. We saw a lot of good games last week, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You got to see West York and Central go at it. And Matt, you got a good game as well. I mean, you must have enjoyed being back at the field.
Yeah, I saw Southwestern beat Gettysburg. Big performance for the Mustangs. Some new players for them. A lot of big performances out of the Hanover-Adams area, though. Littlestown with a big performance. Yep. Hanover, so a lot going on in our area.
Absolutely, and then we'll be talking about that later on in the program. But first, remember to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search Game Day with Game Time PA Radio. And please remember to rate and review the show. We can also be found on the Stitcher Radio app and Google Play. I'm sure by now Matt and Zach both know what Stitcher is. First off, let's start off the show with the return of Game Balls. They're back, and after an exciting week of football, there's a lot of players to give Game Balls to.
Absolutely. I've got three this week. We'll start with Sam Emig from Red Lion. Three touchdowns for him, over 100 yards on both the ground and in the air. He had a big, big week in his first game as the starting quarterback for the Lions. Second one, Reggie Adams, a running back from Biglerville, who we had never heard of last season. He's a senior. Ran for over 300 yards against Anvil Cleona in a very dramatic loss that Biglerville had. But it turns out, with all those good backs they had last year, they had some more kind of waiting in the wings for this season. And keeping with that running back theme, Fairfield's Charlie Burnett had 158 yards rushing, three touchdowns on the ground, also took a punt back for a touchdown. So a big, big day out of him. I know his teammates talked about him a lot at Media Day, really hyping him up as a player that's going to set records and do big things for them this season. He's only a sophomore. And, I mean, he came out with a really big performance in week one.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with my game balls of the week, and they have to go to Jakar Kennard and Dan Yokomik from York Catholic. Two big performances that spurred the York Catholic Fighting Irish to a week one victory. Kennard had 100-plus yards on the ground, Dan Yokomik, and a touchdown. Dan Yokomik threw for two TDs. And he also nearly had 100 yards on the ground as well in a strong effort, as both were knocked out of the game momentarily with injuries and the other covered for them. You really saw the veteran leadership from both players, and they are absolutely deserving of game balls.
I've got a couple coming out of the Hanover area. Rashawn Williams from Hanover High School, one of the few senior leaders that team has. Their team put up 55 points on James Buchanan. He only touched the ball four times, three touchdowns, a 68-yard touchdown catch, two carries for 31 yards, scored on both his carries, and he picked off a pass on defense. Just a really electric player. Then Nate Van Campen from Southwestern. He's been the safety the past couple of years, playing quarterback now, threw a 49-yard touchdown pass, also ran for 88 yards and a touchdown, looked really good against Gettysburg. And I'll throw a third one to Ryan Hart of the Lone Catholic. Had nine carries for over 100 yards. They beat Trinity 17-7. That's a team that runs the ball a lot. With all the guys they had back, they needed to replace Tavian Dorsey, their star running back from a year ago. So if Hart can continue to play well, because they really have kind of a platoon of backs, but if he can take the lead there, that'll be big for them.
Absolutely. And of course, with football and fall sports back in action, that means the return of the York Adams Player of the Week. And this week's winner, with a jarring 527 votes, was DeJure Stewart from William Penn, who scored four touchdowns for the Bearcats in their season opener at Reading. Stewart ran for three scores and gained 105 yards while hauling in the fourth TD through the air. He came in first place in the voting with 527. The second place winner is Nick Shaquef. Maybe you guys know how to say it better.
Is this from Spring Grove?
Spring Grove, yeah.
I think it's pronounced Shaqfe.
Shaqfe, okay, there we go. Shaqfe, Nick Shaqfe, we think, from Spring Grove, the sophomore backup quarterback, stepped up in the season opener for the Rockets, completing 5 of 11 passes for 166 yards. He threw for touchdowns of 26, 78, and 30 yards against Hershey and added 17 yards rushing on three carries. Definitely impressive performance. We had a lot of those in opening week. Before we head to the first break, guys, obviously we saw a bunch of good games, some blowouts, some not. What were your just initial impressions of week one here in the York Adams?
I mean, we'll delve into this a little more in the next segment, I think, but I think there's two schools that really showed that they might be back after a couple down years, Central York and Littlestown. It wasn't so much that they won the games, it's how they won them. Central York coming out 45-15, smacking of rival West York, and Littlestown came out and won 28-0 against the Boiling Springs team that shut them out last season. So really two teams that have been looking to get back. I think we thought they were probably another year or two, maybe more away from getting back. But who knows? After week one, it looks like they might be back.
Yeah, certainly. You don't want to say surprise for either team because they obviously have a history of success. But the last couple years, not quite the success they've shown in the past couple years. What about you, Matt?
A team that definitely was impressive was DeLone to get a win over Trinity. Trinity had a big 55-27 win in over Anvil Cleona week one. DeLone hadn't beat Trinity the past couple years, and they've really been pumping up this year as this is a year we have a lot of seniors. This is kind of our year to win the division. So it's good for them to get off to a strong start. Also, you know, William Penn, I know they lost, but they were hanging with Reading for most of that game. So yeah. I think that was a big performance for them to at least show some fight, give their kids some confidence.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to talk about William Penn a little later in the program, but you're right, Matt. William Penn, I think a lot of us had all picked Reading to win that game. I think we all expected it to be a lot more spread out, the scoring for Reading. You thought it wouldn't have been as close as it was, but really, William Penn was in it all the way until the fourth quarter when Reading finally started to pull away. So obviously an important showing for William Penn and a strong showing right out of the gate.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see what happens there. I think for me, the biggest surprise was just how strong veteran leadership that York Catholic has. York Suburban, a very good team. We'll talk about more in depth that game and a couple other Division II games because they did not have a great start to the season as a whole from Division II. But York Catholic really managed to fight back when they felt the pressure. When Dan Yokomik was out, Kennard stepped up big time for them. When Kennard was out for a couple plays, Yokomik stepped up on the ground. I mean, the two helped each other out, and you could sense the leadership that team and how important it was going to be this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see what they can do this week against Susky, a big game for York Catholic again.
Another team that's also been another D2 team, another team that's going through some growing pains to start the season as they put together a new core of players. But Central Prep, maybe the biggest surprise of just how lopsided that win was. When we come back from the break, we'll discuss that. A pretty lopsided victory over the West York Bulldogs. Was that just the fact that Division II was so struggled so much during week one, or is it Central really back? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Welcome back to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Chris Jarl, Matt Alabone, Zach Miller here with you to break down all the happenings of week one and what's going to go on in week two of York Adams football. We were talking about it before the break. Central York with an emphatic win over rival West York in week one, game of the week, and boy, was that a lot different game than I think we all thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Oswald, the new coach, his career definitely got off to a really, really good start with the Panthers. They came out, they showed off that new fast-paced offense. Yep. They had a lot of big plays from Noriega Goff, the running back, who, I mean, he was expecting big things for himself this season. He came out with 130 yards, a couple touchdowns, also had a couple big plays on both punt returns and runs that set up some more touchdowns for the team. So even though he wasn't the one punching it in, he really was kind of the catalyst for that whole offense. And yeah, I mean, the Panthers looked really, really good. They played a good game from start to finish. They went into halftime with a decent lead and really came out in the second half and put it away. So that's a big thing for them. You know, it's not just being able to string together some good series or a couple good quarters. It's 48 minutes. And Central York showed that. They looked like they were a whole head above West York. And so now, you know, when you look at them, you're starting to wonder now, too, you know, what can this team do in Division One? There's a lot of good teams that we're expecting big things from this year. Red Lion, Dallastown, Northeastern. Can Central be in that mix? Time will tell. I don't know if we're going to see another victory this weekend against Cumberland Valley, but we'll certainly see how they can hang with a really good team because Cumberland Valley is one of the best in the state.
Cade Prabula, correct me if I'm wrong, I say that right?
Yes, all right. The quarterback.
Prabula, the quarterback, threw 8 of 14 passes for 175 yards in the air and a touchdown, so he had a big game as well, and that was going to be important for the young quarterback to get off to a big start as well.
Yeah, he's only a sophomore and very you know, very methodical, completed a lot of passes, didn't shoot himself in the foot with interceptions or anything, just kind of called a good game, you know, and that's what you need out of a quarterback. When you have such a talented running back and receivers like he has there, you know, it's not necessarily his job to make any huge plays, but you just complete passes, move the chains, don't throw any interceptions, and he did a great job with that.
Absolutely. It was a big win for Central to get off, especially in the new era of Josh Oswalt after a very tumultuous offseason with the way Brad Livingston left the program.
Right. Now, I'm curious, Zach, you wrote about this 6 seconds offense that they have. You always kind of hear with the fast-paced offense how they might tire out their guys, or it's hard to kind of, you know, hold on to a lead sometimes. How did they kind of adjust with that during, you know, obviously they held on to the lead, they kept it going the second half. How did the game plan kind of change throughout the game?
And bigger question, were you able to keep your stats correct as they were going through the six-second offense?
I was able to keep the stats. It wasn't easy, though. You know, it was a challenge for us up in the press box, too. But yes, I got it done. I think the experience factor came through for me there. although it was a little rusty, I think, week one, you know, you got to work out the kinks and get back into the groove. But as far as the offense goes, you know, the game plan looked pretty similar the whole way out. But this is a team that conditioned like crazy over the offseason. I mean, they would literally come in and do basically a track practice, then do a football practice, you know, and then do some more. Like they think of themselves as the best conditioned team in the entire league. And they really might be that. I mean, they showed no signs of slowing down. I think they could have played fifth or sixth quarter and done just fine last weekend.
Oh, it was interesting. You know, that was Oswald's big thing going into the season. We both had talked to him at one point or another during the preseason. And to see that pay off well, especially in this league where, you know, and a young team too, that might be tough. That might be tricky as you try and acclimate a new quarterback. Maybe the core isn't totally coming back this season and a new coach to boot. So that makes it even tougher when you know when your coach is trying to do a play, every play, 6 seconds at a time, and run that kind of fast-paced offense.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, practice is the same way. I mentioned all the stuff they do, but really they turn up the intensity on Tuesday and Wednesday. They basically go game speed all those two practices. Monday they'll do a walkthrough. Thursday they'll do a walkthrough mm-hmm. to keep them fresh a little bit. But, I mean, this is not practicing hard and then trying to turn it on another level for the game.
Right.
They might be going even harder in practice and almost taking it down a notch for the game. That's how intense these practices are.
And that seems like it's clutch for them. But the one thing you kind of take away from this game as well, West York Division II, obviously a lot of turnover with all of those Division II teams. West York going through a lot, considerably. How much of that game was chalked up to the fact that West York is a less experienced team? It's a younger team. It is a team that is still learning, learning a system. I mean, obviously, those guys understand what they got to do to win. They've been playing with the program for a long time. But at the same time, Central comes in, although in kind of a similar situation, they come in as the more experienced team. They were the favorite. How much of this do you chalk up to just Central taking advantage of some of the differences?
I think the experience factor for West York, the way I saw it manifest itself on the field, was consistency. West York would come out on offense and string a few good plays together, you know, pick up a couple first downs, and then the drive would stall. And same thing on defense, you know, they'd get a couple stops, and then Goff would rip off a huge run. So for that team, the talent's there, the ability's there. It's just a matter of consistency and not having those breakdowns, because that ultimately is what killed them in this game, giving up those big plays and having those drives stall and having to give away some field position.
Certainly a big way to open up the season. Now Central York goes against Cumberland Valley. Cumberland Valley coming off a win in week one, a 41-21 victory over Coatesville. This is a team that's much different than West York. Obviously, Cumberland Valley, a very tough program. This is now another challenge, a new challenge for Central York in week two.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I'm not sure anybody really expects, even within that locker room, that they're going to beat Cumberland Valley, a team that went to the state semifinals last year. But, you know, if you can hang with them a little bit and show, you know, keep building that confidence, I think there's confidence to be gained even in a loss this week. You know, if you go out there and just get completely smoked, that's going to hurt the confidence. But if you go out there and you string some good series together and do some good things and play some good downs on defense too against that caliber of a team, there's a lot to be gained.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough one for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what Zach said. There really can be positives that taken from a loss, especially when you go in and you know you're the underdog. Even if they only hang with them for a half and keep it kind of close, they'll take a lot from that going into their kind of division matchups in a few weeks.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm sure they'll take a little bit of what we're saying too to heart and try and use that as motivation going into week two.
I'm sure they all listen to this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're not already subscribing, subscribe on iTunes.
That's how it gets them through those tough practices. They all got it queued up in their headphones.
Central comes off a win to West York, a Division II program. Division II as a whole, they struggled a lot. No Division II team comes away from week one with a victory. Is this a cause for concern? I mean, or are they just shaking off rust? I understand a lot of teams shake off rust in week one, but for no team in that division to come away with a win, that's rough.
Yeah, to me it's a couple of things. One is we talked about how there's been a lot of turnover for all those teams. You know, turnover, when you have that, it takes some time to build that cohesion between the players. So you might have the talent there, but it might take a few weeks to kind of get in the rhythm. And also, I mean, some of these games were close. You know, yeah. Susquehannock hung with Northern. But we came into this year kind of thinking no Division II team was dominant. Well, you know, maybe there's not a dominant team because all the teams are just kind of mediocre. But, you know, we're expecting that they're going to beat up on each other and it's going to be a lot of fun. The division's almost more fun that way. You know, if you got some teams that are just, you know, they're not great, you're going to miss those marquee matchups, but you're right. Going to have a lot of good games week in, week out once they start playing each other.
I think the biggest thing, though, was the fact York Suburban, the Suskies, teams like that, you could see coming away with a week one victory. Those were the teams that, all right, those are teams that could come away with a victory in week one. Suburban kind of got shown what their new team, new players and inexperience is all about. That kind of got highlighted in the loss to York Catholic. You obviously had some of the teams that Kennerdales and the Eastern Yorks,
right,
and the Dovers, which were not necessarily sure losses, but you know, those could have gone either way. It was surprising to see some of those top tier teams, though, the Suburbans especially, to come away and make those mental mm-hmm. mistakes like they did in week one.
And I think one thing to point out, while it does look kind of jarring when you look at the win column and none of the D2
right.
teams have a win, it wasn't like any of these games where you're like, oh, this team's definitely going to win. West York Central, we thought, was kind of a toss-up. Susky, we knew Northern's, like, mm-hmm. they've had success in the past. Suburban Catholic was a really good game.
Right.
Catholic has a lot of talent. I still think Suburban, and they've got a tough matchup in yep. Northeastern this week, even if they do start 0-2, obviously we don't know what's going to happen, they might still be a pretty good team that just faces some good opponents early. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think these teams are definitely going through some growing pains and facing some pretty good opponents at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's absolutely part of it. Again, we talked about it a lot in the preseason. These teams are coming in with a lot of changes, and that's what makes them so comparable to each other, is the fact that they're all in the same boat, which gives, you know, the York Suburbans the same shot as the Kennerdales and the Gettysburgs.
Yeah, I mean, there are some definitely winnable games on the schedule this week as you're looking at it. You know, Eastern York's not playing Lampier or Strasburg anymore. They're playing York County Tech. Gettysburg's going to be playing New Oxford. So definitely, I think it would be really surprising to see Division II go 0-7 again this week. I think the schedule's a little easier, and I expect to see at least a few wins this week.
Out of the games coming up, you know, I think Eastern York could put up a win there. And that's no disrespect to York County Tech, but obviously Eastern York and York County Tech are on two different playing fields. What are the other games or the other teams you could see in Division II that come away with those wins?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Gettysburg. New Oxford hung with Bermudian Springs last week, but New Oxford has only won two games in the past 2 years plus. So, you know, that's definitely a winnable game for Gettysburg. That was actually the only team Gettysburg beat last season mm-hmm. with a second-half comeback. Looking around, I think Susquehannock has a chance to beat York Catholic. You know, I know York Catholic just had that good win, but Susquehannock really hung with Northern all game, and Northern won seven games and went to the playoffs last year. So, you know, that's still, I think, going to be a pretty good game. I'm not going to just say because one team is 1-0 and one's 0-1 that
right.
it shouldn't be a close game. I think that one will be another good one.
Yeah, and I think, too, you're right, York Catholic coming off a big win over Suburban, so they're all fired up going into that game. Maybe Susky takes advantage of that. The fact that all right, Catholic's coming off a big win over Suburban, another D2 team. They might be discounting us, or they might be riding that high a little bit too much, and we can kind of take advantage of that.
Gettysburg will be an interesting team to watch. Their defense, I know a 35-0 game against Southwestern doesn't look great. Their defense was pretty good. They were in bad field position all night. They really just couldn't get their offense going. Now, if they can get into kind of more of a defensive low-scoring game against New Oxford, which is realistic, they might be able to pull out a win there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Another emphatic win was Littlestown over winning 28-0. The Thunderbolts talked about it all preseason as well. They want to restore the pride, and nothing like restoring the pride like getting a week one win emphatically.
Yeah, that was definitely the most surprising result to me. I mean, that was the first game that ended too, because they kept the clock moving by running the ball, which is atypical of those really good Littlestown teams in the past have aired it out. And then the Bolts went out there and had 200-yard rushers and Andrew Matthews and Wes Story the other day. Mike Lippe said he doesn't think he's ever had 200-yard rushers in a game. So, you know, they're bringing a totally different look. And the defense, you know, I don't know where this defense came from. Shutting out Boiling Springs just totally flipped the script from last year. I mean, Littlestown struggled to keep teams out of the end zone last year. Starting the season out with a shutout is really something. And now, I mean, I know it's only one game, but I think most of us picked them to win this week in our picks that'll be out later this afternoon. And there's definitely some optimism for sure. I mean, when you have a game like that, it's not just winning, it's how you win. And they played, you know, start to finish 48 minutes, pretty much dominated that game the entire way.
And that was big. That was, again, bringing back the pride and getting back to where the program was a couple years ago was such a big point of emphasis at the start of the season. And you really could tell that it sunk in with the players over at Littlestown that they really have taken to heart the fact that they want to restore the tradition, the winning tradition that this program has.
It was only 3 years ago there in a district title game. Right. So these seniors were in the program. They saw that they at the time. It. They obviously want to get back to that. This will be an interesting game this week against Hamburg, a team that's 2-0 and has won in blowouts their first two games against maybe not great teams.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they look against Littlestown. It's really it's curious with Littlestown. I'm like what Mike Lippe's doing, going to that rushing attack, because I like when coaches kind of fit their game plan more to what their players' strengths are instead of just saying, well, we pass all the time, it's what we do.
Right.
Tanner Noble's their quarterback. He's a first-time starter, and he was pretty good against in their first game. He was, I think, 8 of 10 for 92 yards. He was efficient. But to have two strong running backs, Wes Story was really good last year, and to ride it with him I think was a smart decision. Interesting thing, though, Division III, there's just a lot of teams that look pretty good that everyone's kind of positive on. Like, Berm, we think, will be good. DeLone, we think, will be good. York Catholic.
Yep.
Hanover was great last year and got off to a big win, and it's like, well, they might be good again. All these teams, you know, they're going to face each other. Some team at the end of the day isn't going to be as good as they looked after week one. So it'll be interesting to see how Littlestown kind of rises from that mix.
And I think that makes it so important to win week two to kind of not get caught in that week one win hangover as well.
You definitely add some more confidence to it. That's what I wrote for Littlestown, one of their keys for this week, just to stay focused and not think, oh, we won 28-0. This is great. To think we have another good opponent. We need to get another win, because they're going to have tough games the rest of this year. They don't want, you know, the highlight of the season to be, oh, remember week one when we won 28-0. They want it to be later on in the year.
Absolutely. Matt mentioned Hanover. We'll talk about them in the next segment. They pick up where they left off with another win, and the Nighthawks get a lopsided win against James Buchanan. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Division One, which came out swinging in Week 1. You're listening to Game Day with Game Time PA on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Welcome back to Game Day with Game Time PA. Chris Jarnold here, Matt Alabone, Zach Miller, breaking down everything from week one and taking a look ahead at week two of the York Adams football season. Hanover picking up right where they left off. The Nighthawks just destroying James Buchanan in week one. We were, not to say concerned, but we were skeptical if Hanover would be able to continue the success for last season. Talk about a way to start off.
And there's still going to be some skepticism, because they beat a team in James Buchanan that was 0-10 last year, and they beat them, you know, 55-36. It's worth pointing out that it was, I think, 55-12 until the fourth quarter when Hanover put their subs in. So their defense, there's not that much cause for concern as you might think, giving up 36 points. I think the biggest positive is that they got their, you know, new players some success right off the bat. Cam Mumma lit it up. The new quarterback stepping in for Kyle Crowell, I think it was like 9-10 for over 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. That's great for him just to get some confidence in his belt, to throw some touchdowns, to make some plays, to realize that he can do this. But he's going to face some tougher tests later on. So it's kind of hard to tell, once they face some better teams, some of these Division III opponents like the Bermudians, the York Catholics, how good this team really is. So it's definitely a positive for them, but it's still kind of hard to know, because they beat a team that traditionally is pretty bad.
And coming in for Kyle Crowd after the spectacular season he had in 2015, and you just mentioned Cam Mumma with a huge performance.
Right.
That is an impressive way to step up right there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for all these playmakers, I said this last week, we all kind of thought, like, oh, Hanover's going to take a step back. But when you do look at the playmakers, Rashawn Williams was really good last year. He's back. Hunter Morris, who's a tight end, is a good player. They've got a running back in Justin Barnes, who got some carries last year. So even though they only had, like, I think, like, five returning players or something like that, they definitely have some playmakers. The key was, could Cam Mumma, in an offense that relies on throwing the ball, do it? Now, we still don't really know what their identity is going to be, because they ran and threw all over James Buchanan and the team with a very porous defense.
Right.
So that's going to be kind of the interesting to watch as they face these tougher opponents. Do they rely more on Justin Barnes and Logan Brown, the running backs, or do they still think they can air it out with Mumma? That'll be the thing to watch moving on.
By the way, Mumma 9 for 10, as Matt said, 252 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's an impressive stat line, and that's going to be key for Hanover. The fact that they have a dual threat, at least early on, that can throw, and their ground game had a pretty good night as well. That's a pretty big key for them.
Yeah, and this week will be interesting. They have to go on the road to Kennerdale. That's a long drive from Hanover. So we'll see how they do, you know, not playing on their home field, playing against a team that is definitely better than James Buchanan. You know, James Buchanan is probably at the lowest point of their program in a long time. And Kennerdale, you know, 3-7 last year, which was actually a step forward.
Right.
This is a team possibly on the rise. And I expect there will be a lot of points scored. I mean, Hanover can really air it out and score points. The question is, can they stop the Rams? The Rams were able to score a lot of points last year. Unfortunately, gave up even more.
Right,
so I think
that's the problem.
Yeah, this game could definitely be very high scoring and, you know, really light up the scoreboard. But we'll see. You know, I think it would be big for Hanover to win this one again. Their schedule, not super tough to start out. It would really lend themselves to building that confidence. When you have so many new guys, you need to go out there and win those winnable games to get confidence, so that when you go into division play and you're playing the tougher teams, the York Catholics, the Bermudian Springs, you're playing with confidence. That can make all the difference. So, I mean, looking at last year's team, if they didn't get off to a 2-0 start, I'm not sure they win 9 games. You know, if they fall in one of those first couple of games, we might be talking about a 5-5 season. So that confidence is key, and we'll see how it goes this week.
Absolutely. And again, the first 2 weeks might be tough to tell just where Hanover is truly. Kennerdale also, while they're not James Buchanan, they're also not a team like York Catholic or Northeastern or, you know, York Suburban, where those are good teams, powerful teams in the York Adams, and Kennerdale has not necessarily been the top of the crop the last couple of years, or really in the program's history. So Hanover goes in obviously the favorite, but with that being said, shoot, you don't want to have that week 2 letdown. You don't want to go in as the favorite and allow the underdogs, Kennerdale, to use that to their advantage as well, especially playing on their home turf. Kennerdale has a much more aggressive defense that they've been trying to work out during the preseason and get into action this year. So that'll definitely try to put some pressure on Mumma and the running game and the passing game and try to force some mistakes. Now, whether that happens will be a different case, but that's why, as Zach and Matt were saying, it's so crucial to get off on the right foot, even not just in the season, but in the game itself, to make those big plays early on and be able to set the tone for Hanover.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens. Again, I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game and an interesting one to keep an eye on. Well, we're all going to be out at different games, but it'll be one of the key ones we keep checking the Game Time PA app scoreboard on.
Absolutely. It'll be an interesting one. Well, Hanover, they also, again, just kind of like I mentioned, they fit into that category with Central where the opponent doesn't necessarily give the full story. And we'll, like Zach said, we'll see. Week 2, they play Kennerdale in Division 1. Looking back that way, a big night other than Central coming away with a win. You had Redline, you had Dallastown, you had Southwestern. They all come away with opening night wins. Certainly exciting to see, you know, the powerhouse division of the York Adams come away with some big victories.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget about Spring Grove and Northeastern.
Yes.
With blowout wins also. I think the biggest one, though, out of those five, Dallastown beating Hempfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really did not know what to expect from Dallastown with so many new players. I mean, we've barely heard of a lot of these guys.
Right.
But as Dallastown always seems to do, the guys coming up are pretty good players, and they went out and beat Hempfield. Hempfield's the fourth biggest school in District 3, always has a good team. So that's a big win against a 6A opponent for Dallastown. Definitely they're going to be looking back at the end of the season, and that's going to look like a big, big win when they're trying to make that playoff push, because, you know, they only have so many 6A teams on the schedule, and that's one of them.
Absolutely. And for one of the big things Kevin Myers was talking about all preseason was the fact that they're an inexperienced team. They're not a young team, but they're an inexperienced team. And maybe that set the expectations a little lower and gave the team the chance to settle in and not have to deal with the external pressure that might come if he was talking up the team or if he was putting out there that he felt this is a team that could do this, that, and the other thing. It gives them a little extra wiggle room to iron out those kinks, and the pressure may not necessarily be there as much as it would have been in years past.
Another team to talk about is Southwestern. Yeah. We really didn't talk about that much last week at all. In D1, it was really, you know, Dallastown, Northeastern, yeah, Redline, these like teams going for the division title. The Mustangs think that they can win the division title, and it's understandable why. They were one game away from winning last year, and I know they lost their quarterback in Brock Guymon, but they brought a lot of good pieces back. Drew Hartlob's back. They have a lot of talented running backs, a really good line, good defense. They could definitely be a contender there. Now, they beat Gettysburg, which is right, not a very good team, but 35-0. They did what they were supposed to do. So, yeah, I get it. It's another team. We'll have to wait till they play some good competition, but they could be right in there with the Red Lions and the Dallas Towns competing for a division title.
Absolutely. You don't want to sleep on them. It's obviously a strong showing, and we don't want to discount those big wins against some of the lesser opponents. They certainly are monumental. It's just to kind of temper expectations, especially against some of those lesser teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think Southwestern's as in the mix as all those other teams. When you look at the schedule, I think those games where those four teams play each other, there's six games total where, you know, one of them is playing one of the others. I think those will be the games that ultimately determine the division. But, you know, Spring Grove's in there too. I mean, mm-hmm, not necessarily saying that Spring Grove's going to be able to, you know, beat three out of the four of them or anything like that, but they did beat Southwestern last year and shook up the championship race ultimately. And I think, you know, if that team's healthy, I mean, remember, Spring Grove didn't even have Jake Messersmith this weekend, and they had Nick Shackfay in there. You know, when they
that get, is an awesome name, by the way.
I mean, if we're saying it right, I'm not really sure. That's how I was told it was pronounced. But, you know, once they get Jake back, this team could be even better. And so let's remember that while Spring Grove maybe is not a contender to win the division, is definitely a team that could impact the race, because if all those top four teams are beating each other and one of them loses to Spring Grove, that could make all the difference in the championship race, just like it did last season.
Yeah, it's certainly Spring Grove is not a team to take lightly this season. Southwestern, not a team to take lightly this season. William Penn, we talked about at the top of the show. William Penn, they kept things close with Reading. I think that was the most points they had scored up for the last couple of years in a single game.
Yeah, that's right. I looked back through the schedule from last season. The most points they scored in any game last year was 20. Scoring 24 this last Friday obviously mm-hmm. breaks that. So Russ Stoner has things moving in the right direction.
And Reading, too, was a team that we all expected to beat them to beat to fall to. But we also expected it to be a much larger deficit than it was, and the fact that it was so close all the way up until the third quarter says a lot of just how far Russ Stoner has gotten the program, especially the fact that our player of the week was a William Penn player.
Yeah, I mean, the Bearcats are definitely scoring a lot more points. I think you might see another close game this weekend too. JP McCaskey High School is one of the biggest in the district. Reading, I think, is actually the biggest school in the district, mm-hmm. and McCaskey's number two. McCaskey, though, has been down for a couple years, and it looks like this season, you know, they might still kind of be on the rise a little bit. So I think we'll see how William Penn does, if they can come out and have a similar performance. I'm not sure they can win the game, but I think this is another chance where they could hang tight with a pretty good team, and, you know, we'll see if they can keep building that confidence up, and maybe you get into division play and win a game or two.
Absolutely. Also, it's their first home game of the year, and it gives them their first outing in front of their home crowd. Obviously, the crowds were small last season, to the point where there were only a handful of people at games last season. But again, Russ Stoner, one of his big things, along with Ron Corsi, the William Penn athletic director, when they both arrived at the York school, was the fact that they'd come in and they wanted to re-engage the community. They wanted to become a part of the community again, and part of that was kind of burying the skeletons of the past and putting those behind them and setting a tone that we want to be a part of the community, and we want the community to be a part of us winning and growing as a football program.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. That's probably the most interesting thing about this right. week's game is how that crowd turnout is, how that support is, because I think that, you know, that's something the players can feed off of, and that might not make a difference this week, but when you get into some of those winnable games later in the season, that could be a difference maker.
Absolutely. I mean, even just having those fan support, feeling that momentum from the crowd, for some of those players, it might not be something they're used to, and to get that extra jolt, maybe that propels them to a closer game. Maybe that propels them to a win.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard for a couple of years that there's a lot of talent there. The issue was always, you know, structure, mm-hmm. lack of support, discipline, and now maybe, you know, if you get things going right and have a better environment for these kids to succeed, maybe that talent shows itself a little more.
Right, and that's part of what the new athletic department at William Penn is trying to do, not just for the football program, but the athletics program as a whole, and certainly make them better, not just football players, but better people. And speaking of being better people, got to give credit to York Suburban, who helped make a 9-year-old's wish to become a coach come true yesterday afternoon. Zach, you got the chance to see it firsthand. That had to be a special moment to be even just a part of that in some way.
Yeah, it was. And the boy's name is Aiden. He was actually struggling at his own football practice last month and kind of struggling to keep his balance. They thought he had a concussion. It turns out he's got a couple of brain tumors. He's got an incurable form of brain cancer. So the community has really responded to him. He led Central York out of the tunnel against West York mm-hmm. on Friday, and York Suburban let him come out and coach the team up a little bit. He's in a state where he's not able to be up and moving much. He's not able to really talk very loudly, but he was in his wheelchair and he got to call out a few plays, you know, watch the team, told his stepbrother, who's a defensive back on Suburban, to give him some push-ups. You know, he was definitely having a good time out there, and the family says, you know, he really just eats, sleeps, and breathes football, and he loves to be out there, and everything the community has done for him has really touched him, and now he's hoping, actually, to coach the Steelers next month. We'll see if that happens. That was his real wish. York Suburban was kind of I don't want to say a consolation prize, because I think he was as excited about that as he would have been for the Steelers, but, you know, they're hoping to get him to Pittsburgh, too, and give him another opportunity.
And if you haven't checked out the story already, the full story by our Zach Miller is up on GameTimePA.com, so certainly worth giving it a read. And, of course, there's a short little video of him calling out a play, which was pretty cool to see. And it's always cool to see those community things. You had him with York Suburban. You saw the community rally around Spring Grove's Olympian, whose name now escapes me for some reason.
Haley Flickinger,
thank you. It's a name we couldn't forget for weeks, and it kind of skipped my mind. But, you know, it's really great to see the community. And Matt had the chance to see Haley return to Spring Grove the other day. Obviously not a high school sport, but still something I think that's worth mentioning, and just how cool that experience
was. It was really cool for the students and the faculty. She only graduated Spring Grove 4 years ago in 2012, and she's already an Olympian, which is pretty amazing. And what was great about hearing her talk was that she was clearly, like, she's had a very busy past couple days. She had a parade for her on Labor Day. She went to the York Revs game. She was signing autographs. She's been speaking so much. She had to catch a plane back to Georgia right after she spoke at Spring Grove, so she didn't have time to prepare speech, but it was so heartfelt, and she broke into tears talking about wearing the flag. It was just a really great moment for her to really just address the kids in her hometown from the heart and tell them, even though you're from a small town, you can accomplish your dreams no matter how big they are. If I did it, you can do it.
Absolutely. And Haley's certainly a great role model to look up to, and I'm sure she'll do big things going forward. But the show will move forward as well. When we come back, it's time to defend our picks, albeit I think we had a lot of similar picks. We'll break down several of the Week 2 football matchups in the York Adams. You are listening to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Welcome back to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Christian Arnold, Matt Alabone, Zach Miller with you here as we get set to defend our picks. But before we do that, just a reminder to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search Game Day with Game Time PA Radio. And please remember to rate and review the show. We can also be found on Stitcher and Google Play. So make sure you find us on all of those great podcasting apps, and follow us on Twitter. You can follow Zach at by Zach Miller, and you can follow Matt at bad to the Alabone. That's numerical two, And you can follow me at C_Arnold01. Now it's time, boys, to defend our picks. And Zach, since you are the bona fide expert in the room, I'll give you the floor for pick one.
I don't know if I'm the expert, but I did pick one that's a little bit of an upset. I'll try to defend that one. I picked Susquehannock to beat York Catholic this week. Susky beat York Catholic last year. This game is at Susky, I believe. Yes, Christian, I think you're going down there on Friday, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a really good game. I think York Catholic, obviously, you saw them last week, got off to a good start, pulled out a win against York Suburban. I think I saw something from Susquehannock, though, in being able to hang with Northern. That defense looked good, really kept them in the game. Really, both teams in that game scored two touchdowns, but Susquehannock missed an extra point earlier on, ended up going for two to try to tie it later, didn't get it. You know, that's a game that, had they made that first extra point, maybe goes into overtime or something and goes another way. But, you know, that team showed me something. I think Steve Wiles last year, it always seemed like they came out and they played better than you thought in pretty much every single game. And it seems like they're doing that again. And so, you know, if most of us think that's going to be a close game and Susky's going to come out and play a little better than we thought, then I think a little better is going to be a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting. York Catholic, obviously a team with a lot of coming into a matchup that's very similar to the Suburban one. The Susquehannock, maybe not necessarily as experienced, but they are still a tough team to play, similar to Suburban was last game, and York Catholic has their work ahead of them.
Right. I got a question for you, actually. Sure. It seems like, based on the box score and based on your story, York Catholic relies a lot on Kennard and Yokimik.
Oh, they do, absolutely. Right. Anytime they run.
And you mentioned that those guys each kind of had to come out of the game with an injury. You know, if one of those guys really gets shaken up, has to come out for a longer period of time, what happens? I mean, are they going to be kind of lost?
I mean, it depends on who comes out. I mean, regardless of who comes out, they continue to run the ball. If it's Yokimik, Kennard will just run it up the gut. And, I mean, he'll run it as much as humanly possible. And maybe that's something that Susquehannock, if that happens again, both players said they were fine. Kennard said it was just cramps, that he was feeling some cramps in his legs when he went down. And Yokimik was kind of a similar situation, but both said they appeared that they were fine and they should be ready to go for next week. So
it's going to be a hot one out there too.
Absolutely.
I think it's supposed to be in the 90s on Friday, which is really, really just great for all of us.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't want summer to go away too fast and the remnants of summer still here. I'll tell you, you know, if it keeps the warm weather around just for a little bit longer, I'll take 90 over the snow-filled days we had in the winter. That's for sure. I'm not a fan of winter.
Oh, I'm kind of with you on that one. But for my pick, I'm going to go Southwestern against Manheim Township. Now, this might look like kind of a trap game for Southwestern. They're coming off a 35-0 win. They're playing a team that lost to Central Dauphin 31-9. But they're going on the road, and Manheim might be pretty good. They just faced a really good opponent. I still think Southwest will be able to pull this out. Reading the story on the Manheim Township's loss to Central Dauphin, their line play struggled. They struggled on the defense and the offensive line to kind of get a push. And Southwestern has a lot of good guys in the trenches, and they like to pound the ball. So I think they might kind of fit into what they like to do. So I think Southwest will make another win or get another win. Coach Pelucci will keep them in the right set of mind, and they'll get the 2-0. But that is something I need to watch out, not to think, okay, we're 1-0. We're coming up with a big win against a team that just lost. We're going to roll easy.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And that's always the trap of that week two matchup for any of these teams, especially ones that are coming off big wins, is the fact that you don't want to get into that mindset, all right, we're coming off a big win and we can just roll over that our next opponent. And with that being said, mine is Northeastern. They're at York Suburban. That is a game where if you're Northeastern, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself after such a big win, a 60-6 win over James Buchanan. York Suburban, obviously.
Daniel Boone. Boone. You're mixing up your historical figures.
So a 60-6 win over Daniel Boone. Certainly a big win to come off of. And York Suburban will be hungry. They're a team that they came off a rough week to open the season against York Catholic. They understand kind of the fundamental mistakes, and that was their biggest thing. It wasn't for a lack of the talent on the team. They certainly have that, but the execution and the fundamental flaws on some of those plays and some of the things that they tried just weren't there, and York Catholic was able to take advantage of that. And that's something that Coach Andy Lax has been working to correct over the last couple of days, and he'll be continuing to try and correct going into the week two matchup with Northeastern. But Northeastern obviously has so much talent on that squad that it's tough to say that they are not going to win this game.
a couple other good games to keep an eye on. We got some good mid-Penn games for our two York County schools that play in the mid-Penn. Redland will be playing Carlisle, which is a team. Redland lost this game last year 54-49. So Redland's defense looks significantly better this season than it did last year. We'll see. We'll definitely see it in this game after Carlisle went out and scored 44 last week. And the other game, Northern against Middletown. You know, if Northern's going to be a team that can make the playoffs again, this is a game where we're going to see it. Middletown's ranked, you know, by several different sites that cover football up in the Harrisburg area. Northern won a very close game last week, so we'll find out a little bit about the Polar Bears this week, too.
And Redland, obviously, they've been, not to say a surprise team, but they've had a strong start to the year. They've certainly gone above and beyond what I think a lot of people expected of them to start the year, and they just want to continue to keep things rolling.
Yeah, they had a heck of a game last week, tied at 22. Cocalico had just scored a touchdown to tie it with under 4 minutes to go, kicked it off. Justin Johnson took it back 98 yards to the end zone and gave Redland the lead, and they won that game. So now two big wins in a row for the Patriots. We'll see if they can keep it going. You know, I mean, we're only a few weeks away from very seriously talking about them as a team that's going to the playoffs in 5A.
Absolutely. That's the crazy thing. I think most of our focus goes to the York Adams teams and the fact that Redland plays in the mid-Penn, they kind of, and Northern as well, they kind of get left out of the discussion. But they've certainly been, to say the least, I think the biggest surprise of any of the York or Adams County teams as a whole to start the season.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they also had an extra week to do it. But, you know, like we talked about last segment, Division One went out and won some games against schools from other counties, which had been a struggle in past years. I mean, York and Adams barely would beat anybody outside of the York and Adams, you know what I mean? So it looks like this whole area maybe is getting a little better, a little more competitive with the rest of the surrounding area in football.
Yeah, then that would be another step in the right direction for York Adams football. Obviously, traditionally, they've had some good years, but it's always been tough to beat those out of county schools, for sure.
And then definitely in the Hanover area, and we talked about these games before, but two other games to keep an eye on, Hamburg at Littlestown to see if the Bolts can beat a pretty good Hamburg team, and Hanover at Kennerdale. So like in the more of the York area, but featuring a Hanover team. Be really good, interesting to see if Kennerdale can get their first win of the season against a team that was good last year, and if Hanover is more for real than maybe some people thought going into the year.
Absolutely. I will say, I think Hanover has the edge going into that game, but Kennerdale is a team that has kind of, in the same sense that William Penn is doing, they're trying to rebrand their program. They're trying to get past what's happened in the past and become a better program. And that's what Chris Grubb is doing at Kennerdale. And part of that is being a much more aggressive team on defense. And I think that might be the biggest challenge for Hanover to overcome, is a little bit more of an aggressive Kennerdale team than they're used to on the defense side of the ball.
Biggest challenge for Hanover might be just being in a tight game. Like some of these young players, you know, it was a huge, we talked about Cam Mumma, a huge step for him to light up against James Buchanan, but they came out right away and they just jumped on James Buchanan and kind of kept riding him. If it's a tight game, even if it is like a 28-28 game, we said this might be a very offensive game, how will he feel if it's the fourth quarter and a couple minutes left and he's got the ball in his hands, he's got to lead a long drive? That'll be something else to watch.
Absolutely. Something else to watch as well will be if Matt Alabone can keep his top standing in the gridiron pick standings this week. He went 17-3 in week one. Matt, congratulations from a guy who went 11-9 and sits in dead last right now.
Well, you know, honestly, I think our pick performances are kind of indicative of what we're talking about. You know, this is the first time we've done this for the York Adams area, right? Did you pick any games last year?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, neither did I. So like, we both kind of joined middle of football season, so we're new at this. I think as the season goes on, we'll find out more about ourselves as pickers.
So are you insulting me? Again,
I'm saying
17-3, 11-9.
I'm saying you have the chance to improve, and I have to either keep it going or we'll maybe I'll, you know, regress a little bit. We got to prove more about ourselves.
Jess Sprankle went 16-4. Zach Miller 15-5. Teddy Feinberg with some interesting picks last week still beat me somehow with a 12-8. And our picker last week, Mayor Bracey, went 14-6. We have an exciting picker for this week. Zach, why don't you give a little preview? Who's this week?
Yeah, this week's picker is Eric Harris, who just found out last Saturday that he made the opening day roster of the New Orleans Saints. He's a New Oxford grad, plays safety. He's going to be in the NFL this year after kind of interesting career, where he went from New Oxford to a Division II school to the CFL for a few years, finally getting his shot in the NFL and also getting his shot to compete against us in high school football picks, which is probably more exciting.
Oh, yeah. That was his dream. NFL, not so much. Pick against the third greats in this room right now. That is the dream for any professional athlete. So we'll see how we do. We'll see how our picker of the week does. And more importantly than any of that, we'll see how the York and Adams Counties team do in week two of the football season. Thank you so much to everybody who joined us today listening to the show. Hopefully you'll have a great weekend of football. Just a quick reminder once again, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Search Game Day with Game Time PA Radio and remember to rate and review the show. If you don't have iTunes, search us on Stitcher, search us on Google Play. We're out there. We're easy to find. And of course, make sure you are stay tuned to GameTimePA.com. every day for the latest in high school sports, high school football, and all the fall sports going on. So make sure you check that as well. Until next week, for Matt Alamone, for Zach Miller, I'm Christian Arnold saying goodbye and enjoy the football.